Welcome to episode 286, our favorite things at USJ. I'm Trish, and we are the TDR Now podcast, the first English-speaking podcast focusing on the Disney parks in Asia, including Tokyo Disney Resort, Hong Kong Disneyland, Shanghai Disneyland, of course. But we also cover other things, other theme parks and other fun stuff to do. We are coming to you directly from Japan. You can find us everywhere, basically under tdrexplorer.com. And you can find me at the tourism office in Shinraiyasu. I'm a city guide. I'll help you out if you are in town. So please stop by and say hello. And you can find me, by the way, at Dream Suites Love at Twitter and Instagram. But Chris, I'm so excited. I love this. I'm really excited about this topic. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Keeping myself very occupied, running around not just Japan, but Asia.
Oh my God. That's very busy.
In the next few weeks, yeah. Asia's not small.
No.
Not a small part of the world. But yes, I'm Chris, aka TDR Explorer. And yeah, I'm not sitting still lately. Last week I was at Awaji Island, going to the Dragon Quest Island, getting eaten by Godzilla.
Oh my God.
And we need to do an episode on this. We'll probably talk about it in the bonus episode a little bit because I have some choice words about the Naruto theme park. We'll talk about it in the bonus episode a little bit.
Because, okay.
let me tell you, it was an adventure. Let's put it that way.
I mean, I don't know anything about Naruto except that there's like ninjas. Oh, and oh my God, my son was watching it for a very, very brief time in elementary school. And I think it was like the end of the original series. And there was a guy with like all kinds of stuff coming out of his stomach. And I remember that. But like, I don't know anything about it. So I'm excited to hear your stories.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about bonus episode because I have some things that probably won't make it into our regular episodes. But yeah, we're going to talk about that there. I'm also heading to IAPA. So by the time this episode comes out, I will be back from IAPA in Singapore, going to Universal there as well.
I have a question. Uh-huh. I was too embarrassed to ask before. What is IAPA?
It's basically a conference for theme park professionals, people in the theme park industry, themed experiences. Oh. So, well, I guess we'll talk about it really quickly. There's going to be a bunch of sessions and stuff, and I'm looking forward to some of them. Some of them include some of the people that work on merchandising, including Tokyo Disney Resort. So there's a session on that. Sessions on food. Theme parks and food go hand in hand. And also there's stuff on entertainment. So stuff from like Universal Studios Japan, all these places. And it's not just Universal and Disney. There's also other, you know, the smaller theme parks, amusement parks, things like that. There's going to be new technologies and all that. So it's a really big conference that's happening in Singapore. The main one happens in Orlando every year. So this is the first time they're bringing it back in Asia since 2019. So I'm really looking forward to it, especially being able to talk to these theme park experts, the people that make this stuff happen that we talk about.
Yeah, sounds fun.
I am really looking forward to that. This is not sponsored by IAPA, by the way, this episode. It's not. I'm going to be there doing all this fun stuff with IAPA, so keep an eye out for that. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Universal Studios Japan and our favorite things. And we got this idea from the lovely Anna, and I'm probably going to butcher this, Lepretiri. This was on Spotify, because on Spotify, you can submit stuff on our episodes. And they submitted this question asking us to cover our top 5, top 10 things to do at Universal Studios Japan, things that we absolutely cannot miss. So I thought, let's talk about our favorite things, because I have my favorite things. You have your favorite things, Patricia. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this.
Do you want to start?
Okay. I mean, I think anybody who has been listening for a while can probably guess anything Halloween. So Halloween, Horror Nights in the houses, and what is it called? Hotel Albert. I love it. I love it all. I love the vibes. I just love everything about it.
Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah. Ours is like, I know we've talked about it extensively on this podcast. Like we've had dedicated episodes to it. So listen to those in more in depth. You can go back and check those out. I guess what I really like about it is most of it's included in your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing extra to pay for unless you want to get the express pass, or sometimes they do have like the extra stuff like Hotel Albert.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen in a few years. So maybe they'll bring it back or something like that this year. We'll have to wait and see. We don't know. Ours feels like a party vibe almost.
Yeah.
In a sense, with all the zombie zones and stuff and how the zombies end up dancing. I freaking love that.
I love that it's all ages too. Like in the daytime, you got kids trick-or-treating, which is always like really awesome. And they have like some cutesy stuff too. So you get a little bit of something for everybody, which is really nice.
Yeah. Also by adding the family-friendly Halloween stuff, which I don't think the U.S. parks do they? It's just straight up Halloween Horror Nights.
I never took my son when he was younger to Halloween Horror Nights here because I thought like, yeah, my image of the U.S. parks was that it's only scary stuff. And I wish I had known because I would have brought him when he was much younger. And now he's a teen, he can do Hotel Albert. So I'm really excited for them to start that again, if we can manage it in between like his school. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. And living in Japan, Halloween is a thing here now. It didn't used to be not that long ago. It started with like community parades and stuff. And now even kids in my neighborhood go trick-or-treating in between the apartment buildings. And you have a lot of like Halloween merch and you have like costume parties and things like that. And I feel like USJ is probably the closest I've seen to like how we would celebrate Halloween in North America. You've got like a little bit of something for everybody, which I think is really freaking fantastic.
Yeah, I do like that aspect. I think the theme parks were the ones to kind of make Halloween take off here.
Yeah, definitely. Without Disneyland, I think it would not have become a thing.
Because I think Disneyland was the one to start it, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of took off from there. One thing I only just learned about this, speaking of Halloween, I didn't know that Nakashima Spa Land, which I went to last month, I didn't realize for Halloween, they do a thing called Zombie Island.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
Did you know about that?
I had no idea.
No,
wait,
so,
what is it? What do they do?
So basically at night, the entire park turns into a zombie wasteland.
Oh my God.
And
okay, I'm putting this in my notes right now.
I want them to bring that back. I don't know when the last time they did that. I didn't look too deep into it. I just know that Nakashima Spa Land does Zombie Island, and that sounds phenomenal.
Yes.
That sounds like just right up my alley.
Yeah. That sounds so fun.
That's so cool. Yeah. So yeah, we're big Halloween Horror Nights fans.
Absolutely.
And of course, the way they do it in Japan is a little bit different. So if you want to learn about that, you can head back to our past episodes because we do go pretty in depth into how all that stuff works. I want to talk about food.
Okay. Yeah. No, the food definitely is one of the really fun things about this park. Yeah.
I would have to say the Jaws food is probably some of my favorite themed food in the park. Outside of, I guess, Super Nintendo World, because that's a whole thing in itself. But just like in general, Jaws. The Jaws food is strong. I think it's really well done, if not phallic. But that Jaws hot dog, my goodness. Whoever designed that, you know what you were doing. We know what
they
you were doing.
They knew what they were doing. And I love it.
It's Jaws in a almost like a corn dog breading that looks like Jaws. And out of his mouth is a hot dog. It's really good. I use the word hot dog loosely. It's more of a sausage. Because, you know, for us, hot dog is very specific.
Oh, it's kind of, yeah, I get. Yeah. Yeah, the sausage is much more appetizing than like a North American hot dog. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess like here in Japan, when they say hot dog, it's not the same kind of hot dog that we would think of in North America.
Yeah,
it's more of a sausage.
Unless you go to like a good hot dog place, but yeah.
But it's it's really good, and they still have it. I just saw it last week. It's still there, still wonderful.
I had no idea until you had talked about it. Was it shark nuggets?
Mm.
Which is like wild. I'm like, that's amazing. I love it.
The idea is great. They're terrible though.
Oh no, are they? I've never tried it.
I don't like breaded fish to begin with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And just adding shark into that, just not appealing. It's just not.
I did
eat them. The idea is great. I think it's funny.
This is what became of Jaws after he got electrocuted.
Yeah. Like after you ride Jaws, go into the restaurant and you can basically eat him, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
They're not good. They are not good.
Oh no.
So skip
it. I'm super sad about that.
Honestly, skip them. They're no thank you. Basically, they just taste like processed fish nuggets.
Okay. Oh yeah, I can see.
With tartar sauce, like nothing good can come from that. They still have the blue roll soda cake that looks like Jaws.
Oh, that looks super cute.
That is like a staple for USJ. It's almost like their version of the Green Alien Mochi.
Yeah.
Tokyo Disney. It's like it's one of those things. It's been around for so long and it's so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're ever going to get rid of it until that land goes away. Like, it's one of those things I think it'll just stick around forever.
I hope they keep the land forever. And that's another thing that kind of like really suits the area, because people do use soda to make cakes in North America. So I thought that's really like it's themed to the area, right? That's very cool.
Oddly enough, their fried chicken is really good at the Amity Village restaurant. It's just fried chicken, right? It's just fried chicken, but it's pretty good. They also have a chicken sandwich with tartar sauce, so like a chicken nanban in Japanese, which I think is pretty decent. I really like that. There's a lot of bread to it. It's more like a sub, like, you know, those long burger. Like, it's not a round burger. It's like a long sub, like a 6-inch sub type of deal, but it's still pretty good. Overall, the Jaws food, I think, like, if I had to pick something outside of Super Nintendo World, they have probably the best themed food that also tastes good, except for the nuggets.
I also want to say, I'd hate to go back to Halloween, but just for a moment to go back to Halloween, one of my favorite things is the course dining, where you have the zombies walking around the restaurant and like the food is like really gorgeous. It's like rose themed and everything. I adore that and I love it. And it's like such a nice little escape from the craziness outside. And it's like really elegant and beautiful, but blood covered zombies walking on these gorgeous gowns and like these outfits. Like I adore it. I adore it.
Yes, I remember that. I never got to do it, but I remember them doing that. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I see in the notes here you have Jaws and Jurassic Park.
Anything with monsters. There's like an ongoing theme with me. If it's got monsters, it's got like a horror element, I'm there. So yeah, whatever attractions are in Jurassic Park and of course Jaws, the OG monster, I'm there. So yeah, all the monster attractions. This I have in my notes, monsters, yes.
So you would say must do would be Jaws and Jurassic Park?
For sure. And like everything in Jurassic Park, the roller coaster, the... I know I've seen on Twitter people like, oh, it's a Jurassic Park and USJ looks kind of tired. It's going to get renewed. So hopefully it's going to be a lot cooler looking. But yeah, I love it anyway. I don't even care. I just want to see the dinosaurs and do stupid mom jokes like, oh no, I hope that crate is secure. You know, my son's like, stop.
Mom, quiet, please. Yeah, the Jurassic Park ride, the classic one that it opened with the park, I think. It must have.
I think so. Maybe.
2001, yeah. So it's official. It's closing. Well, this version is closing for good in September. And they didn't say it's closing forever. They just said it's going for extended refurbishment until 2025, something like that. Like, it's being closed for a long time, which means they're going to retheme it, basically. Everyone thinks it's going to be probably the same one as in Hollywood, which I'm not mad at. I rode that version in Hollywood. It's really good. Mm. So I imagine they're probably just going to do the same thing, which is not a bad thing. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
To add on to that, my favorite thing, Flying Dinosaur, 100%. I ride that every single time I go to USJ. You cannot miss it unless you really don't like coasters, because it is pretty intense.
I love it.
It is not a calm coaster. It's not one of those, it's like, oh, this is fun. It's like, no, this is pretty intense. It's a pretty intense coaster. But for me, the Flying Dinosaur, it's like at my threshold. Anything more than that, I probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah. You're not like an Ajanaika guy.
Oh,
that's
no.
Ooh, really Ajanaika? Almost painful. Yeah.
Ajanaika? No, thank you. No, we're not doing that.
It's I enjoyed it, but it hurts a little.
Ijen Icot, Fuji Q Highland, that's one of those things like I will do, I've done it twice. And that, like, I'm good. I'm like, it's not one of those where I feel like I need to ride it again.
No, yeah, I know, I understand.
Flying Dinosaur, like, I can ride that.
It's comfortable. It's comfortable. Like, it's got some comfortable pressure, but it's good.
When the pressure starts to get too intense, it's over. It moves on to the next thing. So it's very mm-hmm. well designed where you get to feel that intensity, but it's so short. By the time you like kind of start feeling like, oh, is it too much? It's over. It's a very well designed coaster, very comfortable. And we were just talking about this before we started recording. They changed, I don't know when they changed this, but it was very recent. The procedures to like put your stuff away on the coaster. So it might be too early to tell right now, but I think it speeds things up. So before, obviously with this, it's a flying coaster. You're not allowed to have anything on you, right? Nothing in your pockets, nothing. They would check your pockets while you're in the queue and then give you like a little basket to put your stuff in. But there was like all these checkpoints of people like to check your pockets. And then the final thing would be before you go onto the coaster, they would check again. And then you have to put your stuff in a locker that was where the vehicles were. So that kind of slowed things down because there was always like groups of people mingling about, people that are getting off and grabbing their stuff while the next people are loading. It just like kind of turned into, there was just a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. So now they changed it where there's lockers down below in the queue. So kind of like halfway through the queue. So when you're halfway through, you get to go to the locker area, which is free, and you put your stuff in there. Like you take everything out. You can't take anything with you after this point. No phone, no nothing. So you're just kind of with you and your thoughts, basically.
Oh my gosh.
But it's at the point where you have to go through a metal detector, but then you're in the, like you're basically at the stairs that goes upwards. So you're not really waiting that much longer without your stuff.
Okay.
Which, you know, is tolerable, I thought anyway. But then when you got up there, the loading was so quick because they were just able to pump people through really quickly. So everything just moved really quickly. Also, too, like you didn't have to start and stop at the same spot because there's two sides, right? So if you had to pick up your stuff from the loading area, of course, you would have to come back to where you started. But the times that I rode, we would sometimes unload on the other side, on the second track, as opposed to the first one, just because we didn't have our stuff to pick up from there. So I think that kind of really sped things up.
It gives them a lot more flexibility.
Yeah. So the highest I saw, and of course, like this was beginning of June, so we're not really in busy season right now. I saw anywhere between 30 to 60 minutes for standby, which is almost unheard of for that coaster. Like even during like a slow period prior to this, it would be anywhere between 90 minutes to 2 hours minimum. So now I think this is helping speed things up, I think is what's happening, which is good because the biggest thing that I see talked about online and everything is just how notoriously high the wait times are for attractions at USJ.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm guessing USJ is trying to get rid of that image, which is understandable because, you know, if people know the lines are going to be super long, it's going to deter people from going, right? So it's a good thing. If we can get through quicker, that's, I'm totally fine with that. We did the single rider line this time around. The first time we got through really quickly, like not even 10 minutes. Like it was really quick.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The second time, our wait was probably about 45 minutes. Because the single rider line can be kind of a roll of the dice because it really depends on the standby line and those groups.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you're a single rider, they use you to fill in the available space. But a lot of the time people are in groups of two or four and that's what the seats are in, like the rows. So there'll be just a lot of time where we're just kind of sitting there and they're just pumping through the standby line and our single rider line wasn't moving because everyone was in groups of two or like they were in even numbers. Okay, what else? Okay, let's go to your list.
My list is like a hot mess. Oh, Waterworld.
So good.
But it's so good. It's so good. I love it. I think it's like one of the best things in the park, honestly.
The movie was terrible. Everyone knows that. The actual
movie. Well, the movie, I don't know. Like, looking back on it now, it's kind of like incredible that they were able to make it like that. And also, it's balls to the wall. So I'm kind of like, I don't know, good, terrible? I don't hate it. I don't hate the movie, but the show is just so freaking
it's a good show. It fun. Is definitely yeah. worth it. I guess like if you've seen it before, because it exists in Hollywood. So I guess if you've seen it there, like you could skip it here, sure. But if you've never seen it before, it is worth seeing. 100%. Yeah. And I love when they do the One Piece premiere show.
I've never seen that.
I haven't either, but I love the idea of it. The kids
love it.
It's so popular. I don't plan far ahead enough to think to do it. And then when I'm there, I'm like, oh, I forgot that the One Piece show was happening. Because it's over the summer. It's usually like over summer into the fall is usually when they do it, when it's hot. Because, you know, One Piece just lends itself to that, right? Because it's all in the water. It just makes sense to have it. The parade.
See, I never know what parade is happening at the moment. I'm like, is there still a nighttime parade? I have no idea.
No, the nighttime parade has not come back. I hope they bring that back because it was pretty good.
Yeah, I like the nighttime parade.
Well, I guess like the park isn't open late still. The latest I've seen it open is 9.
Oh, that's short.
Which is kind of like Tokyo Disney. Like,
same as Disney. Yeah.
Like these parks need to be open till 10. Like, what are you doing? Make them open till 10. Come on, guys. Like, you know, probably a staffing issue, but
yeah,
who knows? But yeah, 10 o'clock. If I think once they open the parks till 10 or the park until 10, that's probably when we'll see that come back.
I hope so.
Because it obviously, I think before it would happen at 8 or 9.
It was like right before the park closing. So maybe a little bit later even.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was strategically done. I think it was done like right at park closing. It's strategically done.
Get out.
You got to get everyone to crowd near the front. So yeah. And then the park is closed and then people will just leave after that. So it's a smart thing to do, right? Just to kind of coax people out of the park. But the new daytime parade, the No Limit parade with the Pokemon and the Mario Karts and the, I sound like an old person, the Pokemons, the Mario Pokemon. Karts, Sing and Minions and Peanuts. Such a wonderful parade.
It looks so joyous, you know?
it's like a party.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It is. Yeah. And you can join in, which is like super cool.
Yeah. After 3 years of having to be socially distanced, it's nice to just be able to do these things again. The No Limit Parade is an absolute must. Absolutely cannot miss it. And I learned something new this time when I went to USJ this past week. Now, I don't know if they're going to do this every time, but the one day we were there, it was raining. So, of course, the parade doesn't really run in the rain. They will sometimes if it's like light rain, but this day it was pretty rainy. Like there's no way they were going to do it. The parade was canceled, but they did special greetings with the performers from the parade, which I thought was really cool. So they brought out the Pokemon trainers. So the performers from the Pokemon float, they were there in one section. Then there was the characters from Peanuts. So there was the performers plus the Peanuts characters. There was Sing, the characters plus the performers. There's also Sesame Street. I did ask the staff, is there a possibility that Pikachu comes out? And they said, sometimes yes, sometimes no. They don't know when that happens.
Okay.
So Pikachu might come out. He might not. When we went, he didn't come out. But I guess in the past, he actually has. Yeah. Which is like wild to think about because you never really see like the Pikachu greeting outside of like the Pokemon Cafe or like, you know, that Pikachu breakout or whatever it's called down in Yokohama. That was actually pretty interesting to see. And it's all done under the big canopy at the front of the park, you know, the big covered area.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes sense, obviously. So I thought that was really cool that they did that.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So then I guess people don't feel like they missed out. Of course, they missed out on the parade, but they can, you know, see some of the characters and stuff. I didn't see any of the Mario characters were out. My guess is probably it's probably a thing with Nintendo. Like limited to
that area.
Yeah, it's probably with Nintendo, and there's probably very specific rules with those characters, right? Like, Nintendo really controls those characters very tightly, so I'd imagine that's probably a big no-no. I think it's probably never going to happen, which, fine, fair enough. But the other characters, I think that's wonderful that they actually do that.
Speaking of entertainment, just like the holiday shows in general, like the wintertime show is just so spectacular and gorgeous.
Yes.
I adore it. And some of these shows with the characters during Cool Japan, like the Lupin the Third show was really, really fun and super cool and really well done. Just their entertainment and their shows and parades in general are a blast.
When you're visiting, if you're visiting, like usually there's something Cool Japan related happening because it kind of happens all year and they just kind of keep swapping things out. Don't miss those things because they're usually pretty wonderful. I did do the Spy Family mission this time around when I went. It was hard. It's only in Japanese. And I saw some visitors were trying to use Google Translate with it. And no, there's no way. There's no way you could do that.
That's so sad.
It's not just a straight up like, here's a passage of text, here's a riddle, figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like, there's nuances to the Japanese language that you need to know that is not going to be picked up by a translator.
Oh, right? Man.
And also you have to like align pieces of paper and stuff and you have
they're
to
puzzles,
fold. Yeah, it's all puzzles. You have to fold the paper in a certain way. Well, I don't want to give up too much, but there's one part of it. This is not going to spoil anything. There's one part where the clue was, it was four pictures. Two of the pictures were related and you had to figure out what the relation was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way a Google Translate could pick it up because they were pictures, literally pictures. And there was nothing else to indicate what to do. And we're looking at that. We're like, what does this mean? And then it turned out it's two Japanese words that have the exact same pronunciation.
Oh, okay.
Then you had to find this physical item in the park.
Uh-huh.
You find it. You're like, it's called this. Okay. What's another Japanese word that sounds exactly like that? That you can find in the puzzle by moving the puzzle in a certain way to reveal the answer.
Oh my God. It sounds so fun, but also so stressful.
Yes. There was even Japanese people having issues with it.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about doing the Spy Family thing, get someone with you that understands the Japanese language. Do not use a translation app. It's not going to work. It's just not. It's a puzzle, right? Puzzles are hard in general, but the prize, whatever you want to call it, you got to go watch this special Spy Family show, which is really cool because you got to see Lloyd and Yor in person. So it was like, you know, this high level cosplay. Really cool. And then there was a special greeting afterwards with both of them that you got to take their pictures, which I thought was really cool. So like USJ does a lot of stuff like that, which I love. I love that they do like these little things that other parks just don't do or are unable to do. So I guess kind of adding in Cool Japan to my list. Anything Cool Japan, even though some of the stuff will probably be inaccessible unless you know Japanese, unfortunately. But I think because like a lot of this stuff is very limited, it's a little tough to kind of translate a lot of this stuff for something that's like so short, I guess. Especially puzzles. Like puzzles, I can't even think of how they would do it in English because it just wouldn't make sense.
That would be really hard to, you couldn't translate it. It's so specific.
Yeah, it's really based on the Japanese language. There's just no way you can translate into other languages without having to make like a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of understand why they wouldn't translate it. But maybe that's more incentive to brush up on your Japanese.
Yeah.
I fumbled my way through it. We got through it at the end. I did ask some random Japanese people for help because I was like, I can read this and I kind of understand, but I don't feel like I'm missing something. It wasn't that the puzzle was hard. It was just like, it was a language thing for me. There's something here I'm missing and I don't quite understand. I asked some people and they're like, oh, it's this. I'm like, oh, I never would have got that. I have no idea. Right? Can you explain why that is? And they did. I'm like, oh. Still don't quite get it, but sure. Okay. Do we go through your list? Oh, no. We have one more thing on your list here.
Shopping and cute souvenirs. The thing is, when we go to USJ, we have like a certain number of things that we want to hit. But because of Express Pass, we're kind of just like vibing throughout our day. Everything's like scheduled. It's easygoing. So, for example, if there's like a special event going on or like it's like a seasonal thing, We like to go on Twitter and find out what people are tweeting, like what the merch is and things like that. So for example, my son and I like Shingeki, like Attack on Titan. So when they have that event, we go, we do shopping. And when he was little, it was super cute. If you watch the show, they have like this gear with like swords and you go flying and stuff. And they had it in the park that you could wear it around the park. And he was wearing it all over the park and taking like photos and stuff. And it was like super fun. And the cast would be like, oh, wow, you got the Rita Aikido Soji. And like, he's like, yeah. And you know, he had his cape on and everything. And it was like super fun. And it's just like having a good time, like good vibes. So yeah, I like the shopping, like the same with Hotel Albert. It's like kind of spooky and elegant. And I was like really into the design. They're really on the edge of like youth culture. So like the colors and the materials that they use are always like really hot with young people now, which is kind of cool to look at and see what's on trend, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, speaking of on trend, this pains me to say this. 90s fashion is now coming back in style.
Oh, I have a teenager and I am well aware.
Is he wearing a bucket hat?
He has a bucket hat. He has those baggy jeans, like kind of like the JNCO jeans, kind of like that.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember the metal, the bead necklaces and
yes.
stuff?
Oh, I'm like, no.
Stop. I can't relive this.
Because speaking of USJ being on the forefront or on the edge of youth culture and like what's going on with the youth today, bucket hats are back. They're full force. They have bucket hats for all the different characters, like Minions and Peanuts and Jaws and Jurassic Park, Mario. I look at them and I'm like, oh, this just reminds me. Like, this takes me back to 1994.
It's interesting, but they do have like a modern twist to them, you know, like the colors and things. So it's kind of interesting.
I saw that and I just thought, oh, I'm at that age now. I'm at that age where stuff I wore as a child is coming back.
My son was listening to like 80s music and I'm like, what? Why are you listening to 80s music? And he's like, oh, it's really cool. It's like really retro. I'm like, oh my God, the music I listened to as a child is now like oldies.
I know. Feel so old. There's this new, I guess this kind of segues into Super Nintendo World, which is one of my favorite things, which comes at no surprise. They have this new line of like mesh clothing for Super Nintendo World, which I think is wonderful. It's these long sleeved collared shirts. I guess collared shirts are kind of really the thing now. We're kind of going away from t-shirts to collared shirts, which I'm not mad at. A collared shirt always looks nice. Whenever in doubt, put on a collared shirt. It just looks nice. And I'm not going to complain when they're theme park themed as well. But they have these meshed shirts that are meant to, you know, be worn as an overshirt, right? You're supposed to wear something underneath it because they are see-through. And they're checkered, and they have one that is themed to Yoshi. It's green checkered and there's little apples on it because, you know, Yoshi and apples just go hand in hand. And then there's what is it called? Bloop, the squid from Mario.
Oh, I don't know what the name is. Yeah, Bloop. It's super cute. The squid.
It's blue, like blue checkers and everything. I wanted to buy one so bad because I think they look really nice. The only problem is on it, it says it is ladies cut, which typically means like usually the torso is a little shorter.
Oh.
And I put it on and it would have fit fine. Like the sleeves, like the sleeve length was good. It fit my shoulders and everything. It was just too short, which I'm like, oh no, I totally would have bought this, but it's just too short in the front for me. If I have my posture right, it kind of goes like right above my belt line. That's a little too short for a collared shirt. So I didn't get it. It's one of those things that's just really on trend right now.
Yeah.
The theme park collared shirts or dad shirts, I guess. The all over print collared short sleeve shirts that are very dad. I'm embracing it. Whatever. It looks good. I like it. So
I'm sure it's super cute.
It is. It really is.
It sounds really cute.
But yeah, I guess it comes as no surprise. One of my favorite things, Super Nintendo World. We've talked about that at length, so we don't need to go into it too in depth. Still love it. I do like that they have the Golden Mario power-up band still. It's a special edition, so they still have it. hopefully they'll have for a little bit longer. I did notice they started selling the Universal Cup. So for Mario Kart, you're racing for the Universal Cup. And there's like a physical cup inside the Mario Kart attraction that you can see. Well, they took that and turned it into merchandise, which I am not mad at. They made a Omiyage version. So it's like a plastic version of it that's full of chocolate coins that are themed after all the different courses.
That's great.
Cups. And then they have a 12,000 yen statue replica of it that you can buy as well, which I almost bought. I almost bought it. I think next time I go, I probably will because I freaking love it. And then they also have a keychain version, like a little $10 keychain version of it. So wonderful.
I like the idea of like, it has like the coins inside.
I know. I think that's so really clever. Fantastic. So I think, yeah, that's like some of our favorite things at Universal Studios Japan. There's so much to the park. Mm-hmm. For the one park, there's a lot to do. Not including all the stuff that's closing, but you can easily keep yourself occupied most of the day. Between eating and buying stuff and the entertainment, Super Nintendo World, all that stuff. Yeah, there's plenty to do. I saw you have in the list here, future possibly Nintendo area.
I mean, probably.
Are you talking about the Donkey Kong? Probably.
I think I'm really going to be into it. Donkey Kong, yeah.
Oh, wait, you haven't done Super Nintendo World yet?
I haven't done Super Nintendo World.
Right. I forgot. Yes.
One of these days, but now everything's closing, so I'm like, man, if I go now, like half the park is going to be closed, so it's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Terminator and Backdraft just never reopened, so
yeah,
you weren't going to be able to do it anyway. Spider-Man's still open until January.
Okay, so that's still open, and Jurassic Park is still open
until September
for a while too.
Only until September.
I want to go if we can go. I would like to go for Halloween. If we can swing the schedules.
I'm excited for Halloween and see what's going to happen with that.
If it's a full Halloween. Yeah, that's the thing. I want to go when it's like all everything.
I hope it fully comes back. It's just full on Halloween Horror Nights. What we got in like 2018, 2019. Because that was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's what I would want.
I hope we can go back to that. I really do.
And if not, I don't know. I'll wait until there's like a good time. Like maybe they do, like they might bring back Shingeki. Because I know that's ending. If they do, it would probably be around that time because it ends in the fall. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Before we go, we want to thank some wonderful explorers who are supporting us over on Patreon. So, remember, if you want to support us there, head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. A big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Crispy, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David, Baker, Kevin, Shani B, Harry, Marina, Beth, and Eli.
And thank you to Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie H, Michelle, Marie, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, Kay, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, and Paige.
And remember to rate, review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us right now, and hit that follow button, that subscribe button, so you don't miss any of our new episodes. And if you are on Spotify listening to us there, you can submit questions on Spotify. We do go through them from time to time, so we may use it in the show. So go there and submit your questions. And you can find us on our website at trexplorer.com, all over social media under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, Chief Content Editor for TDR Explorer. And I am the one that is just traveling a lot right now. And joining us always is the wonderful Patricia.
You guys, thanks for listening. I guess I am the one who always has Halloween on their mind. I'm like, Halloween's getting closer, isn't it? It's like the middle of summer. It is. It's Summerween. Okay, it's Summerween. In Japan, it is Halloween. All the scary movies are coming out. So for me, Halloween has started. You guys, you know, when you go to USJ, you do you. Have fun. You're going to have fun no matter what. And like, if you want to hear a funny story, there are these kids that we know that like they range in age from elementary school to junior high. And they went with their family to USJ. And the mom was excited to go to the Super Nintendo World. And the boys ended up doing Detective Conan, the mystery thing, puzzle thing. And they missed their entry time because the boys were like, no, we got to finish our puzzle. Forget Nintendo World. We're doing this, you know? So everybody has something that they love you enjoy the things that you like. These are our suggestions, but you know what? There's so much other things happening there as well that you're going to have a good time no matter what.
I agree. All right, explorers, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.